Hi, thank you for joining in SaaS Radio Hour again. Today I'm here
Thanks.
with Aleem from Streak. Aleem, how's it going?
Good. It's going great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for making the time to come on today. Streak, I was wondering, could you just go ahead and I think you could probably do a better intro about your product than I could. What's Streak? Just to let everyone know if
sure.
anyone's listening who hasn't used Streak before.
Yeah. So Streak is a CRM inside of Gmail, and we're pretty loose with the term CRM. Basically, we think any business process that you're doing over email, so that's things like sales or hiring or fundraising, are things that you could use Streak for. And we build the product directly into Gmail because that's where most people are doing this kind of work.
Awesome. I noticed that you, your profile says that you previously worked at Google. Did that have any influence in, I guess, building a CRM focused on Google products?
It did. And I'm sure it had more of an influence than maybe I'd like to admit, but, I used to work on the Google Drive team. And so we were doing integrations with the Gmail team quite often. And so I knew some of the folks there, but I also just had like a sort of early look at the rise of G Suite and now, sort of called Google Workspace.
Yeah,
I kind of saw that sort of tremendous growth. And then we were sort of living and breathing those tools even before they became like sort of mainstream outside of Google. Like they were roughly mm-hmm. mainstream for startups, but not really for everyone else. And so, I think that was definitely part of it. We were most familiar with the Gmail platform.
Absolutely interesting. What inspired you to build Streak then, just as a product overall?
Yeah, I think the main thing there, I mean, we were actually working on a completely different product that was not like a B2B SaaS product. We were working on a consumer product, and it didn't do well. But as part of that effort, we were doing sales. We were knocking on local businesses' doors, walking down the street, knocking on doors, trying to sell our product to local businesses. Trying to close deals. And what we kind of realized was, my co-founder and I, we needed a CRM. We wanted to keep track of, which deals we had to close, which ones we didn't, which ones we had to follow up on, sort of what was our conversion rate, how long was it taking us to close these deals. And we knew nothing about CRMs, but we went out there and just picked Salesforce because that's kind of what everyone recommended. And very, very quickly,
yeah.
we could see that, that product was not built for, two founders trying to do door-to-door sales. Like that was not the product for us. And so we did what most people do and is that they kind of drop down to like a shared spreadsheet, like we were just using Google Sheets. And that's actually a really good system. Because you get to define the rows and the columns, you get to define the schema. And so you get to design the product the kind of the way you want it, like you get to define your process the way you want to, as opposed to Salesforce, which was sort of very rigid. But there was still the major problem, which was we were doing our sales over email back and forth, and then we would copy data back and forth to the spreadsheet. And like, as soon as you forget to copy and paste something in one direction and stuff gets out of sync, you stop trusting it. And when you stop trusting it, then you just drop down to your inbox and you just, do whatever's in your email. But that's not shared with your other teammates and stuff like that. So what we really wanted was like the model and flexibility of Google Sheets, but built into our email. And so that's what got us down the path of Streak.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love that. So you built this as an internal product almost to scratch your own itch, and based on your learnings of having used Salesforce, which is more aimed at larger businesses, and then going all the way back down to a spreadsheet, and found that some combination between the spreadsheet and email is where the sweet spot was. And so then I think the interesting thing to me has always been with Streak that it's built entirely inside Gmail. Of course, now there is a mobile app, and I believe, do you have a desktop web app as well now, or is it still all inside Gmail, right?
All inside Gmail on the desktop.
So what was that process like? How did you end up building Streak just as a Gmail add-on instead of a standalone app?
Yeah, I think the thing that we were trying to avoid was having two places to do the work, right? Like if you're doing your work in Gmail and you're sending, you know, emails back and forth to potential customers and leads and stuff like that, and then you got to like switch tabs and copy data into your CRM, like that felt kind of broken, and that you run into the same issue where sort of data is out of sync. And then there's all these other solutions where you like BCC your CRM or whatever, and that felt kind of clunky because you have to remember to do that and stuff like that. And so we wanted it to feel like an integrated experience. We didn't want it to feel like you were using two products. We wanted it to feel like, hey, I'm doing the sales work or this hiring work or I'm fundraising or whatever, and I'm going back and forth with these people over email. My email system should be tracking these things and should be augmenting the emails with useful information of where they are in the process and stuff like that. So, so that's why we kind of felt that, like, you know, the main experience that users are doing day to day should be in Gmail. Now there was some question of like, hey, maybe we should have like, you know, a separate website for like maybe some of your settings or like account creation or whatever. And the more we got into it and the more, you know, sort of deeper we integrated into Gmail, the more we realized that like, hey, for everything that we want to do, there is like a Gmail way of doing it. Or there is a somewhere natural inside of Gmail that experience would fit well. So like, for example, settings, right? Like if you're in Gmail and you want to adjust your settings, where do you go? You go to the, you know, you press the gear icon, you go to the settings tab for Gmail. Well, and then there's a bunch of tabs that show you all the different settings. And one of those tabs is Streak. And so there's a very natural place where these two products can fit together.
Awesome. Yeah, that definitely makes sense from a user perspective. But from building a business, did that concern you of building a business as a add-on? Where I feel like add-ons, most people's first experience with add-ons is perhaps adding a Chrome extension or Firefox add-on back in the day. It feels like it's a little extra, right? It's like just almost like changing your wallpaper on your phone. It's like just a basic extra. Did that concern you that people would see it as too small of a thing to go pay for?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so with that, there's like both technical risk and like business risk. And so like on the business risk side, there's two pieces of that. One, would people feel like, hey, this is just a toy, and like, I don't pay for toys, you know, like, and so that was a little bit of a worry. But given how valuable we thought what we were building was, and the initial reactions of users that started using the product, we knew people would find a lot of value in it. So we weren't worried too much about that. And the other reason we weren't worried too much is that CRMs traditionally have a very high price point. Like the first usable, like the most basic usable version of Salesforce is like $120 a month, right? And per user. And so like that, the price anchoring for CRM is like already very high. So we weren't worried too much about like our ability to charge for the product. But there was this other business risk of like, hey, what if like, you know, Google shuts you out or whatever, right? Or they change the product so drastically that like, you know, you can no longer integrate well or whatever. It doesn't make business sense to integrate. And like that was a concern initially. But having been at Google and sort of understanding their strategy for what they want G Suite or Google Workspace to be, they really want it to be a very horizontal product that serves billions of users, right? And so they're designing their suite of products for a common denominator, right? They want everybody to be able to use every part of it, right? They don't want sort of verticalized or specialized products. And so we felt pretty comfortable that like Google was making sort of a platform play, and that they would actually embrace us building on top of G Suite. And that turned out to be true. Like we have a very great relationship with Google, and we know a lot of the folks there, and they're really happy with sort of what we've built on top. On the technical side, there was a big concern there as well. And so that was the part we were most concerned about. You know, what if Gmail is changing so fast that we can't keep up? What if their technology, you know, under the covers is changing so fast that we can't keep our integration up to date? So we built a ton of systems to make our software very adaptable to changes in Gmail, but also we had a lot of telemetry that alerted us anytime Streak found Gmail in a state that we weren't expecting. And it would report back to us and give us alerts if like a bunch of users were experiencing like this weird version of Gmail that we hadn't seen before or whatever. So we built all this crazy
Oh,
technology. It
clever.
turned out a lot of it turned out like a lot of the tech actually wasn't necessary because you know, Gmail moves at a glacial pace, right? Like their release
Right.
cycle is, you know, every 6 months or something like that is new, you know. And Streak, on the other hand, we release 6 times a day. And so, you know, the pace of innovation there is a little bit different. And plus they roll stuff, they have to be much more conservative. You know, they have 1.5 billion users on Gmail. They have to be much more conservative and roll changes out slowly. And so those systems that we built sort of gave us an early warning system of like, hey, Gmail's rolling out a change to like 0.1% of users. Okay, we're aware of that change. We make our fix, and before the change even reaches 0.5% of users, we're already compatible with the new version of Gmail. And so over the course of the years, we've had very, very little issue in terms of like keeping up. I think the longest downtime we've ever had with that integration has been a few hours.
That's incredible. Yeah. The interesting thing with desktop software versus web-based SaaS in many ways is there are no versions, right? You could go spin up a copy
Right.
of Office 97 and still, you know, see how Word worked back then if you wanted today. And there may be someone who's still using that in their office. Whereas with SaaS, everyone's theoretically at least running the latest version of the software. But I hadn't thought of that of the problem of basically slow rollouts and testing with a small percentage of the audience first, and how that could break a plugin or add-on worse than it's changing the user experience for a small bit of people, but that actually might break your product entirely for a small segment of people.
Yes, it's even a little bit more complicated than that because it's not only slow rollouts, but also there's many ways you can configure Gmail. You can configure it to be split pane,
Yeah.
horizontal, vertical pane, conversation view on, conversation view off, chat right side, you know, different themes. Like there's many ways
Right.
you can configure it. Now, the good thing is that those aren't changing every day. Like we've built the ability to integrate with those, and they're not changing every day. But yeah, the rollouts are something that can happen whenever.
And then the split between your integration or add-on on different browsers, is that easier to maintain or just as hard as keeping up with Google's
Yeah.
email changes? Sorry.
Yeah, it used to be difficult, but these days it's much easier. So at first we only launched on Chrome, and for I think like 2 or 3 years maybe we were only Chrome only. But it
Yeah.
turned out that like a disproportionate number of Gmail users are biased towards Chrome. So even though Chrome only had like 20 or 30% market share amongst Gmail users, it was much higher. And so,
Interesting, yeah.
that was fine. But we used to get a lot of requests for Firefox support. So that was our next big thing that we were going to do, was like Firefox support. And it was always like the next big thing we were going to do. And we just like never quite prioritized it. And as time went on, the amount of requests for Firefox just kept going down and down and down. So it made it like
Yeah.
every time it made it less and less likely that that was the next thing we were going to do. Until the point now where we barely get any requests for Firefox. So we had done Safari next because that was going up actually for us. For our user base, we were predominantly skewed towards, you know, founders, SMBs, investors. That was our user base, and you know, Safari was heavily used by them, and so we did that next. But it turns out that all these browsers have now converged in terms of their extension model, and so now you kind of write the extension once, and then it's very minor tweaks for each browser to kind of make them work.
Nice. Yeah. It's sad really seeing Firefox use rates having dropped so sharply over the past decade or so. It was the original browser everyone was moving away from IE and switching Firefox and where all the exciting stuff was happening. And then, boom, here comes Chrome and just took the energy out of the room in a good way. I mean, it was faster and the extensions were worse, but we were willing to put up with that at first. And then over time, it ended up being the much more mature platform. And then now it, to a certain degree, is the web browser.
Right.
From a web developer perspective, do you find that troubling? How the basically we're at a point where there's of course Safari WebKit, and then that turned into Chrome, and then now versions of Chrome are basically powering everything other than Firefox. What does that say for the future of the web to you?
I think it's not as dire as people think. I think it's a good thing to have multiple different browsers pushing the envelope for it. And I think even though Firefox has sort of seen a little bit of a decline, Safari has really pushed the envelope and forced Chrome to kind of keep up. So I think that's pretty healthy. I think the underlying engines, like the underlying rendering engine and maybe even the underlying JavaScript engine, those being standardized and open source, that seems like a good thing to me because it makes the burden on developers like not as high. Because if it renders right in Chrome, it's going to render right in Safari, and so there are some arguments that hey, maybe Google has too much control over that standards body or whatever. But I think net, it's probably a good thing that some of that stuff does get standardized, and at the application layer, at the sort of user browser level, that seems like it's a good thing to have multiple participants because they can push, they can innovate on features and stuff like that.
Interesting. Compete on the actual experience for the user versus rendering everything differently. I'm just going to take this as a chance to remind everyone, if you're listening live to SaaS Radio Hour, in your browser, there's a message box where you could send in a message to our team. And we would love to hear any questions you have for Aleem about Streak and Gmail and building a CRM and anything else you would like to hear him chat about today. So just if you're not listening on the browser, if you're listening on your phone, just go to capiche.fm/SaaS, S-A-A-S, and then send your message to the bottom of the box, and we'll be sure to ask it on air here in a few minutes. So moving back to Streak, I was interested to see Streak adding a command palette to Gmail recently. What was your inspiration for that, and what are your favorite ways to use the command palette so far?
So the motivation there was just, for power users, right? And, we ourselves are power users. And so like during a hackathon, we decided to do this command palette and we thought it was cool. And so we, polished it up a little bit and sort of launched it. But I think it is useful for products to, sort of have like a wide, sort of appeal in the sense that like it should be easy enough to get started. I mean, this is the Holy Grail, but it should be easy to get started.
Yeah.
But it should offer a graduation path for people that want to become experts and power users and sort of let them take full advantage of the system. And so command palette is part of that. It really helps our power users. And for the long time, we kind of relied on Gmail's search box as a place where you could not only type in Gmail queries, but you could also type in Streak queries. And that felt very natural because it's very integrated and that's where people would kind of look to do some of these things. But it kind of broke down when we wanted Streak to offer more than just search. We wanted Streak to be able to take in commands like, create a certain piece of content or navigate to a certain place or whatever. And so, so that kind of broke down, so we kind of had to do our own command palette. And me personally, I really like using the command palette to jump to a certain place or to create content. Like, for example, if I'm taking call log notes, I don't necessarily have to go to the opportunity in my CRM and click the call log button and like start typing. I can just bring up the command palette and quickly say call log, start taking a call log and, type in the box name and keep going. So like, and that's especially useful in moments where you actually don't have a lot of time. Like you just jumped on the phone with somebody and like, you just want to start writing. You don't want to like deal with a lot of UI.
Yeah, my favorite thing about command palettes is that it's that you don't have to really think so much about them, and maybe even you don't have to remember the command because you've got typically fuzzy matching. You can just start typing, and it'll pretty much find what you need, and then jump to that
Right.
command. In your command palette, does that enable Gmail features as well? Like, could you just type new email instead of
It doesn't.
Gmail's built-in shortcuts for a new email?
It doesn't, but we kind of should do that now that I think about it. I think one of the powerful things about the command palettes is that like you don't have to remember where you are in the navigation hierarchy. You don't have to remember
That too,
like what
yeah.
screen you're on and like decide, okay, I'm on this screen. I want to go to this other screen. What are the set of UI elements I have to hit to get to the place I'm trying to go? Like that doesn't matter. Not only going to the place, you don't have to click on any UI, but also you don't even have to think about where you are right now. You just bring up the command
True,
palette and do
true.
what you want to do.
Right. Like if you're in Gmail settings, you could still pull it up, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. You had mentioned in a Capiche comment about Streaks List being sort of a twist between a table and a Kanban board. And just a few minutes ago, you were chatting about basically how your team had gone from Salesforce to a spreadsheet and then wanted something, I guess, more in the middle that was tied in with email. Could you talk a bit about that? What do you see as the failings of both Kanban boards and standalone tables? And sort of what your team is trying to do to fit something in the middle there.
Right. Yeah. It's a great question. We get feature requests all the time for Kanban boards, and we've never done it because we don't see a lot of value for at least for our use case. We don't see a lot of value over a grouped table. And so, I'll sort of reframe your question a little bit. I think there's tables like spreadsheets that you've typically seen in the past. There's Kanban boards. And the thing that we do in Streak is something slightly different than a table. We call it like a grouped table. And the difference there is that it's like a table, but all of your content is grouped into similar items. So if you imagine like, for the CRM use case, you may have a bunch of leads that have been contacted, you may have a bunch of leads that you're negotiating with, and then a bunch of leads that you're sort of closed won or closed lost or whatever. And so we take our table with all your leads in it, and we visually group them by the ones that are in the same group. So you have your lead stage first, lead set of rows first, then you have your negotiating rows, then you have your closed won rows, then you have your closed lost rows. And the reason that's important is because we make it really easy to jump between the groups, right? So like you're not scrolling through the whole table to get to the next set of things. We make it very easy to jump between the groups. But the benefit of the table is that it's very information dense, right? Like you see the columns laid out horizontally and the rows sort of vertically, and there's not a lot of white space. It's very information dense, which is great for power users. And it offers the ability to do things like batch operations. So I can select like a column, copy and paste it. I can select a bunch of rows, move them. It's really, really good for power user operations. Like the sort of spreadsheet like UI is really good for that. And the
Right.
problem with the Kanban board is that you're kind of, you don't have a lot of, you don't actually see a lot of rows on screen at a time. Because of the way it's laid out, there ends up being a lot of wasted space if a particular vertical group doesn't have that many cards. That ends up being a lot of wasted white space. And then you also don't have the benefit of sort of batch operations. Like you can't copy a value from, oh, like I know the deal size of this deal is $5,000. I'm going to copy that and paste it to five other leads that I'm working on. You can't really do that in a Kanban board. So, we've never done that. And also, I have a bunch of knocks on Kanban boards. I could keep going on this, but we found that the group table works really well for our use case.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I had originally, so from a different angle, I guess, in project management, I'd originally started managing projects in Google Sheets with the team. And we would just share the whole sheet with the team. You'd write people's names beside their task, and it worked. And then Trello came out, and it was like, oh, wow, this great thing. And the thing for me that was good about Trello and Kanban boards in general, is it visualized that workflow of it's not like a task is checked off and done as it would be in Basecamp or Todoist or most to-do list
right.
focused project management, but you're going from
right.
step A to step B to step C, which entirely fit an editorial workflow. That was exactly
right.
how we needed to work. And but then over time, it was like you were captained by the limitations of the Kanban board, and we needed more granularity. And so we moved from that to Airtable, and then you're back to a table.
Right.
Of course, you could visualize it as a Kanban board, and that was, I guess, why we decided to switch. But then it was like, you know what, maybe the table just works better, and that's what we ended up sticking
right.
with very often.
Yeah.
And so it's
I think
funny,
the Kanban
almost,
board is,
we had, yep.
yeah, I think the Kanban board is good for like when you're just getting started with a process. And like, there's
yeah.
not a lot of content there actually yet, and you want to do the visualization and stuff like that. But I think the grouped table, like Airtable, like Streak, is the right solution because you do get this like the thing that you touched on, where like you know, in most you know spreadsheets or to-do applications, either done or not done. This idea of a grouped table introduces like multiple states, right? It doesn't have to be done or not done. It can be in many possible states, and like visually. Those states are represented. So I think the group table has that going for it. And the other thing that's hard with the Kanban boards, it's like really hard to do like to sort of see the metadata. So like, you know, in Streak and in Airtable, you have many columns. And it's pretty hard usually to like see those columns in Kanban boards and then like sort by them because you don't really see them lined up one on top of the other. And so it's hard to see the relative differences between those values across many, many items. So yeah, I think for a bunch of reasons, like the group table seems to be the optimal UI.
Yeah, absolutely. There is definitely a thing of being able to see more data at once. At a certain level of, I've written about this before, that there's, I think a reason things like Airtable can take off in the market is that very many business SaaS apps are at a base level, a form to enter data, visualizations to view that data, and essentially reports to, you know, see what's happening in that data. And it's all at the back end. It's just basically a table and rows and visualization, right? And then it's just how your UI is customized to show that. And so your team has basically built this database of sorts inside of Gmail and then using it for project management, for CRM. What do you think is the most unique use case you've seen for Streak in that? That's something I guess you didn't expect to see people pull off inside Gmail.
Yeah, it's a good point that like it is a very flexible product, and you know when we were building the product, we were just starting off the company, and the company we were. As myself and my co-founder, we were wearing many hats, right? We were doing sales, we were doing fundraising, we were doing, you know, product management, we were doing hiring. And so as we were building the product, we're like, hey, we want to use the product that we're building for all the things that we're doing. And so by that very nature, the product is very flexible and generic. And when we think about new features, we think about, hey, what's the fundamental thing people are trying to do with this particular feature, and does it generalize across you know use cases? So for example,
yeah.
like if I'm working on sales and somebody asks us for, hey, I want to see a closed one report of like how many of the deals that I you know enter negotiating do I actually close? And you look at that request, you're like, okay, cool, that's like an interesting feature request. We could like hard code that report or whatever. But do the other use cases need that? And you go, well, yeah, like if I'm hiring, you know, how many people do I interview that actually end up joining? Or if I'm fundraising, how many people, you know, how many investors do I talk to that end up investing? Like you kind of want to know all those things in all these use cases. And so we generalize the feature and we make it work for all the use cases. And so that's made it so there's a lot of different use cases that people use us for. Some really, you know, interesting ones that I've seen in sort of my personal life. I saw a user use Streak for wedding planning. They planned their wedding using Streak. And you know, they had all their vendors that they were using, you know, their florist, the venue, the caterer, you know, all that stuff. And, you know, they had a process set up, you know, like, have I reached out to them? Have we sort of checked for availability? Have we negotiated a price? Are they signed and ready to go? And, you know, they're just like pushing these vendors through their process, and they're, you know, getting their wedding planning done. So that was pretty cool. Another one I saw in the personal, I saw a user use Streak to manage their dating life. You know, I guess this person had kind of, you know, enough volume of dates that they needed something to track them all. So that was one that I definitely did not expect. But you know, on the sort of less, you know, sort of joking side, the, you know, job search was a use case that we never thought we didn't anticipate people would use Streak for, but
yeah.
It's become really, really popular for college students to use Streak to find their next job. And so, you know, they fill their pipeline with like, you know, 50 companies that they want to reach out to. And, you know, they start their job search, you know, like, have they made contact with them? Do they have an intro there? Have they done an interview there? And they keep track of, you know, the benefits, the compensation, the role, all that stuff, all in a pipeline. And it's really good because, you know, especially for job searching and, you know, fundraising and or selling a company or whatever, you really want to build a competitive process so that you have multiple options. And like Streak really keeps you on that track.
That's awesome. Yeah. You build something that's flexible enough that it's basically a CRM, but then it's just this database tied to your email. And so you can use it to track this insane amount of things that are in email, because that's the crazy thing with email. It's all of our life in one place, right?
Right.
And so anything that you can track in email.
Yeah. And I wouldn't go so far as to say that it's like a generic database. Like, you're not going to track your inventory levels, for example, in your business.
Oh, sure. Right.
We position ourselves as a CRM is because it has to do with people and it has to do with communication. The unique thing about Streak is, yes, it is a database with all those rows and all those columns, but inside of each of those rows, you can put in email, you can put in files and stuff like that, and that gets shared with your team. And so it's a very people-centric database.
Yeah, great point. And we just got a message in. Austin, our co-founder, just messaged and said he used Streak for his wedding planning with the knowledge to send out, save the dates. So a bit simpler than the use case you described, but said it was still super helpful. So there you go.
Great. Glad it was helpful.
Which reminds me, there's a lot of Gmail extra features in Streak. You've got mail merge, you've got open tracking, read receipts, basically. Send later scheduling, snippets, and more, along with Streak's core features. Do those just sort of work together, or do you see the, I guess, email add-on style features being something to pull in new users and attract new people to the platform? Or do you see people coming more for wanting a CRM inside Gmail and then finding these things just as extras?
Yeah, it's great. Great question. And it's something that we wrestle with a lot. And I think this is like the one, you know, a lot of business is just like sort of executing. I think there's a lot more emphasis, like there's usually too much emphasis placed on strategy and not enough on just straight up execution. And I think this is one area where, you know, we have to do well in terms of strategy. I think this is an important strategic question of whether we invest in these tools. But yeah, to answer your question directly, people do use us for these, we call them power tools. People do use us for these power tools and nothing else. People do use our CRM and not the power tools. And then there are users that use both. And so, you know, the question is like, what is the relative size of those sets? By and large, people that use our CRM, almost, you know, almost all of them also use our power tools. So it's definitely making the product better for our core, you know, CRM users. And by the way, the CRM is the thing that we charge for. We don't charge for those power tools. But the reverse is not true. So like, we have a lot of users that just use us for email tracking, for example, and the majority of them do not use our CRM. Now, having said that, we did some analysis on it, and 10% of our paying users were users that just started using Streak from email tracking. Like, they had just gotten Streak because they wanted to use email tracking, and they used email tracking for several months before they even tried our CRM. So 10% of our users came from that. And so strategically, we're thinking about these power tools as more of a marketing, top of funnel, lead generation type thing. And so, you know, sort of historically, the reason we actually originally did these things is, you know, we never wanted to do email tracking, for example. And we always used to tell users, hey, you know, there's plenty of other products on the market that do email tracking, get one of those and then use Streak for your CRM. And the reason we told them that is because, I mean, these email tracking tools were all super cheap. They were like $4 a month or something. There wasn't a lot of money in it, so we didn't want to play in that space. It turns out that a lot of those tools, it showed why they were $4 a month. Like, they weren't very good. And our users would sort of complain about it. And we kind of felt that, like, we could do a really good job at that, given our technical experience, and make it more integrated into the CRM. So we ended up doing it, and that's how we started going down the path. But now we see how powerful it is as like a marketing tool for our CRM. We're going to be doubling down on that. So we're going to be adding more of these tools. We're going to make our existing tools better, and we're going to try some interesting marketing tactics to make it, you know, sort of even better on the conversion side.
That's awesome. That's basically a confirmation of the freemium model. For software, but applied sort of in a slightly different vein, where it's like you have a freemium model on this one set of features that then people can upgrade into the more powerful set of CRM features from that. And so you get a wider base of presumably people interested in the product overall.
Yeah, it's almost like a instead of having like the light version of the product as free and the full version of the product as the paid product, it's more like having one product as free and a whole separate second product that is paid. But the free product that you're giving away gives people awareness of the second product. And they also happen to work well sort of together. The example I'm thinking of is there's a lot of those like domain search tools where they have like fancy UIs for like checking if domains are available or whatever. And then that's the free product. And then the paid product is like actually buying domains. And so they work well together, but you could use them independently.
That's interesting. I never thought of domain searches being a freemium offering because everyone offers domain search. But that could be a product someone would charge for in a different universe. That is interesting.
Yeah.
That is so cool. I am curious. So bringing it back to email. And we've talked about how your product's built inside Gmail as an add-on. Have you considered adding Streak to other email platforms? Office 365, Fastmail would be another one, though I think that would be probably more individual power users that would use it there. Has that been something your team has considered branching into?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of touched on it earlier, sort of given that it was from Google, like Gmail was sort of top of mind for me.
Yep.
And I think we made a bet early on that, like, you know, we obviously talked about, hey, do we want to do this for other email providers? We kind of made a bet early on that, like, Gmail was the sort of the future, and like, you know, basically the only other system we were considering was like Exchange or Office or whatever. Gmail's the future. The growth rate is going to happen there. Let's ride that wave. Exchange and the Office ecosystem was super established, so there's a lot of existing players in that market already, and a lot fewer players in the Gmail ecosystem. So, you know, it was a lot less competitive. So that was another sort of tailwind for doing Gmail. And that bet largely paid off, right? Like when we started, I think Gmail had like, 300 million users or something like that. And now it has 1.5 billion users. So, you know, their product has 5X, and we've just ridden that curve. And along with it has come more competitors. But the other reason we chose Gmail is because of the other thing you touched on, right? It's evergreen. There's just one version of it. Sure, there might be like some settings you can toggle or whatever, but there's just one version of it. When we were considering sort of Office and Exchange, it was like, oh, you gotta, to get any significant portion of that market, you're gonna have to support, you know, Exchange 2007, Exchange 2010, Exchange, you know, whatever their next version was or whatever. And there's like many different configurations of it. And even worse, a lot of Exchange was self-hosted, right? They hosted it on-prem with like their IT guy, and they configured it in some weird way, and like it was really, really painful to develop against it, because not only do you have to develop against the front-end application layer, like integrate into Outlook or whatever, we also hit Gmail's back-end APIs, and so we'd have to do the same thing with Exchange, and that would have been super, super painful if a lot of it was self-hosted. So that was another reason we didn't want to do Exchange. We just like didn't want to implement it. Like it seemed like really, really painful. Having said that, now the landscape is changing a little bit. Like Office 365 is a thing, which is closer to the Gmail model, and has a good developer experience. So that might change in the future. It doesn't have the widespread adoption because there's still a lot of legacy Office and Exchange users out there, or Outlook and Exchange users out there. So as 365 gets bigger, like obviously we'll consider it, but it's pretty hard to justify for some of these smaller providers when Gmail has 1.5 billion users. It's pretty hard to justify developing for like, for example, for like, hey, like that's a new email service, looks great, it's a nice product, and like it's probably going to be very successful. But it's not going to be at Gmail scale, and I think they've even explicitly said they don't want it to be at that. And so it's kind of hard to justify, like sort of at the scale that we're at now, to invest in that ecosystem. It might be a great opportunity for an indie developer or something.
Yeah, interesting, right? You're building on a platform, and so you want to essentially hitch your wagon to the larger platform and grow with them.
Yeah, exactly.
The Office thing is fascinating because, of course, Microsoft's strongly pushed into the SaaS space, tried to get people on. Now they're calling it Microsoft 365, with everything in Office as a service. And even Word, Excel, et cetera, are now bundled to a certain degree inside of Microsoft Teams, where the web app version sort of can live inside any other app. And yet it feels like the desktop software is still where they have the most traction. It's like they're trying to push businesses in this direction, but everyone's still used to their standard desktop applications. Whereas with Google, by starting out just fresh from being in the browser by default, and there was never any other option, everyone went with that, and there was never a problem of adoption of moving, I guess, this legacy user base from the desktop into the cloud with Gmail, Google Sheets, et cetera. And so that gives you a much more standardized audience to approach there and the Google
Yeah, there's a classic
ecosystem.
it's a classic innovator's dilemma with Microsoft, right? Like they make
Yeah.
so much money from Office, and so they have to
Right.
hobble their 365 offering so that it doesn't seem so it doesn't cannibalize their desktop stuff, right? Because like their online stuff has to be competitively priced with Google, which is 10, $15 a month, but
Right.
their Office offering is higher priced, and so they can't cannibalize themselves, and so they do weird things like, oh, you're like editing it in Word online, but oh, you want to insert a table? Oh, sorry, you need to download the desktop app for that and pay for the desktop
Right,
app. So it's
yeah.
like it's such a weird product experience to have like some things in the desktop version and some things in the online version. It's like, yeah, it's just weird.
Right. Whereas Google, you essentially are getting the same experience by and large for the free product on a Gmail account or the paid product on Google Workspaces. And so everyone's using the
Exactly.
same thing. It's just basically, are you on your own domain or not, more or less.
Yep, exactly.
Actually, does that provide there are slight differences between Gmail on your own domain versus consumer Gmail. Is that a building challenge for Streak, or is it generally close enough that that pretty much doesn't cause any problems?
So usually it's the user experience is pretty consistent across both, and the differences are largely in the administrative controls. And because we don't really integrate with the administrative side of things, right? We're largely integrated in the on the user experience side. It's like we support Gmail or G Suite in exactly the same way. Like we have the same code base for the two. There's no like there's very, very rare exceptions where we even care if the user is on G Suite or Gmail. And like the one notable exception is just like quota limits. Like, API quotas are different if you have a
Oh, great.
Gmail or G Suite account. And so there's a few places in Streak where we care about that difference, but it's very, very minor.
I know Google Docs did a UI rollout that was on Gmail accounts or traditional individual user accounts, I should say, versus Google Workspaces. And they were a bit slower, I guess, more conservative in rolling it out to paying corporate customers. But Gmail, I'm struggling to remember. I don't think they've had a major change that was, I guess, on two different versions at once.
So you are right. They do roll things out at different paces for those two, for you know, G Suite or Gmail. But in the end, everyone ends up getting it. So an example on Gmail, for example, is the Smart Compose thing, where you, like, it has autocomplete as you're typing up an email. That came to G Suite first, and then a couple months later, it came to, you know, all Gmail accounts.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, super creepy. It actually works well. It's just terrifying.
Yeah.
So email apps in general have been a rather hot space over the past couple of years. You have Superhuman coming in, sort of taking the Gmail experience and building it for the desktop, trying to be fast and keyboard shortcut and command palette powered, and charging $30 a month. You've got Front trying to build sort of a collaborative UI on top of Gmail or any other email service to make your inbox more collaborative, where you can work with your team on it. You've got things like Hey, like you mentioned, that the Basecamp team is building a new take on email. Would you see the Streak team building an email app as a entirely separate thing aside from Gmail? Or are you still content generally with the features that Gmail offers from an email experience?
Yeah, it's a good question and a good insight. I think that over the long run, yes, because I think we could build a better end user experience if we controlled the entire stack. That being said, when I say better, I'm not saying how much better, right? And is the cost worth that piece of better, right? If we thought that there was a 10x improvement for our use cases, if we had our own email stack versus using Gmail stack and then building it on top, if I thought there was a 10x improvement somewhere in there, we'd be working on that today. I don't think there is a 10x improvement. I think there's, like, you know, maybe a 2x improvement or something, at least today. But, you know, it is a huge, huge undertaking to offer an email service.
Yeah.
And so, like you mentioned, something like Superhuman, you know, they're not even offering the full stack, right? They're a UI layer on top of Gmail. Right. And so, like, they offloaded all of the work of spam detection, deliverability, storage, like all that stuff. They just offloaded to Google, which is the correct approach for them. So because their innovation, their specialty is this awesome user experience. Right. And so in that way, they're kind of like Streak. Right. They're built on top of Gmail. Now, maybe they're not inside the Gmail UI, but they're on top of their backend. And that's a huge undertaking for them. Front, that's an interesting one. And, you know, they've been around for, I guess, 7 years. I think they were founded in 2013, so like seven, coming on 8 years. Superhuman's been around since 2014 or 15. You know, they're coming on 6 or 7 years. You know, building an email service is like a decade-long project, right? And the reason that is because, you know, the MVP for an email client or even an email service just has so many features in it, because email is one of those weird spaces where, like, there's so many different ways you can use it. There's like the, I want my signatures. Oh, I want the ability to mute something. Oh, I want, like, autocomplete search. I want reading pane on the left and all my messages on the right. I want split inboxes. There's like a million of these features. And so if you're trying to build, like, I remember there's a few email startups that wanted to do, like, something cool with the categorization of email. That's a great idea. But in order to do that innovation, they had to build all the other shit. You know, they had to build all this other stuff just because people needed those basic things in an email client, right?
Yeah,
and everyone's basic thing was kind of different. Everyone had sort of slightly different needs. And so you have all these email clients that are trying to, like, you know, do these things, and they have to suffer through the slog of building every last feature before they can introduce their one little innovation. And so email clients are really, really hard to get right. And so, like, you know, kudos to the Superhuman team. Like, they slogged it out for 6 years building every one of these last, you know, features or whatever. And I'll say the one exception to that is Hey. They took a different approach. They basically said, you know what, we're going to build the full stack, and we're not going to offer every single one of these features because we're going to take an opinion on what are the important things and what are the things that we actually don't want to support and don't want users using. And if you agree with our opinion, you'll be a user of Streak. And if you don't agree with our opinion, this product is sort of not for you. So that's the one exception. And even still, I think, you know, their development effort is taking what, 3 years, 2 or 3 years. And so it's not a small undertaking.
So it's almost like this reminds me of you previously had touched on Google almost standardizing the web stack, where Apple WebKit and then now the Chromium engine standardizing web rendering, and then everyone can sort of compete on the user experience and the features on top of that stack. And to a certain degree, a lot of these newer email apps are treating Gmail as that layer for email, as though Gmail standardized the Synthy IMAP stack.
Right.
And then they can just build innovations on the UI and user experience on top of the Gmail stack.
Right. Right. Yeah, I think Gmail doing a backend API. So, you know, they've had IMAP and SMTP for a while, but them doing a proper REST API on the backend has made it so actually more email clients are possible, like Superhuman, that can build on top of Gmail. So they don't have to take on the, you know, the spam stuff, the storage, the deliverability, search, that kind of stuff. They can offload that to Google. But I think it could be taken further. Actually, one opportunity that I would love to see a company take on, and you know, maybe if we're working on Streak, maybe this is something we would do, but I would love to see an email client that has all the building blocks, the fundamentals of, you know, communicating with the backend, executing searches asynchronously and fast, doing offline caching, all those things. But it's not an end user product. It's a toolkit meant for developers to customize. And so people could build their own email clients. So you can imagine things like, a good example is IDEs. Like programmers use IDEs, integrated development environments, to write code. And the cool thing about these IDEs is that they're infinitely configurable. And like right now, you know, only programmers kind of have the patience to do that. So there is some, you know, sort of user experience challenges there, but you know, programmers can customize it to their delight. They can put the file browser on the left side, the right side. They can have it floating. They could, you know, not have it at all. They could customize the themes. They can write plugins for it, and they can make the experience exactly what's sort of perfect for them. And I'd love a company to try that, to try building this client for email, not just the backend, but the client for the email that is instantly configurable. And then end users wouldn't use that. You know, that would be a thing that programmers would take and then customize and package in a certain way with a certain opinion, and then end users would use that.
That would be wild. Yeah, the closest thing I could imagine to that today would be something like Zapier-style integrations with Gmail, which you could use to make Hive. Not really. It wouldn't be an end user email app, though, but it's doing conceptual tasks in email automatically, right? But taking that to the nth degree and building, essentially imagine that combined with, I guess, Webflow, right? And you could build your own email app that was tying into everything. That would be wild.
Right. Yeah. Like imagine the power user version of this email client lets you customize everything just like a programmer customizes their IDE and, you know, is set up exactly the way you want it with the keyboard shortcuts the way you want it and has a command palette and, you know, I think there's an opportunity there.
That would be wild. We had one more user question come in, or listener question, come in just now, which touches basically on something we discussed earlier in the call, which they said they're wondering, with your product being so dependent on platform quirks, and don't you have to constantly make sure your product doesn't break? Which you'd mentioned how you've built this tool basically to monitor user accounts to make sure if they're seeing a different version of Gmail than what other people are seeing, that your team will be notified and you can start building the fixes to address that new version before it rolls out more broadly. With that question, since you sort of already answered that one earlier in the call, have there been any major quirks or problems that you found where basically something did break that you, by being built into another platform, even a bigger degree than AWS East Coast taking out half the internet. Has Gmail taken out Streak before?
Yeah, so Gmail has taken out Streak before. And that was more in the earlier days before these systems were sort of fully developed. So for example, you might remember that back in the day when you composed an email in Gmail, it was like sort of a full screen experience. And then they eventually changed it to have, when you press the compose button, a small little window in the bottom right would pop up. That was a big, big change for us because we were deeply embedded in the compose experience. And so that broke us. That broke us for a total of 9 hours. And so, you know, 9 hours later, we had a basic thing sort of working.
Wow.
And then, you know, over the next week or two, we made it, you know, much more polished and much better. And so, yeah, that was an issue. Then there's also the question, and we didn't touch on this before, but of what about like big fundamental changes? Like, what if they change everything? And that kind of happened with Inbox. I don't know if you remember Google Inbox, but it was basically your Gmail account, but a different client. And so that was a big, big undertaking. And so we saw Inbox launch and we looked at the code of Inbox and we're like, oh man, this is actually like much more modern, much, much better built. Like even if Inbox, the product experience doesn't survive, this technology seems like it will survive. And so our Streak better integrate well with this new tech stack that Gmail is starting with the Inbox product. And so lo and behold, we built in support for Inbox. And so Streak worked really well with Inbox. And then lo and behold, they killed Inbox, but they brought a lot of the technology back to Gmail.
Yeah.
And so, that was a big change. And I'm glad we invested in Inbox because we didn't have to support Inbox day one. We sort of built support over time and then we backported it into Gmail. So that was pretty good. But now we've gotten to a point where we're, I guess one part of the business that I haven't talked about is, Streak is a business application and it integrates with Gmail. But what we've done in our code base is separate the two things. So we have Streak, our business logic code, and then we have an SDK that we've built that just knows how to deal with Gmail and wrangle Gmail and make Gmail do what we want it to do. So it's two code bases, and Streak, the sort of business app, you know, calls nice high-level APIs into this SDK, and the SDK is the thing that goes in and makes Gmail do the thing, like add the button here, add the text here, and know what page you're on in Gmail and all that kind of stuff. And so this SDK is, you know, open for anybody to use. It's not open source, but anybody can use it. If you go to inboxsdk.com, anybody can use it to build applications inside of Gmail with the same depth of integration that Streak is. So we kind of give that away. And the interesting thing about that is that like we've had a ton of developers built on it. So Dropbox has an application that's built using it. Stripe does, HubSpot does, Giphy does. There's a bunch of these applications. So there's, and we sort of did a tally recently, it was something like 25 million users are using apps that are powered by this SDK. So it's a pretty large user base. And so what that allowed us was, you know, Google obviously knows about this SDK. And so when they make changes to Gmail, they want to make sure they don't break 25 million of their users who are using these different apps. And, you know, that's a very courteous thing for them to do. They don't have to do that, but it's very courteous of them. And so, you know, we've collaborated with Google on changes that they're about to make sure that the SDK is compatible and that all these apps, you know, don't break. So now we've gotten to a point where we have a certain amount of scale where, for business reasons now, not just technical reasons, Streak stays compatible.
That is genius. Like you, by giving away something that enabled other people to build a business on Gmail, have also made your product more stable on the Gmail platform.
Yeah, we kind of wanted to have a little bit of leverage with Google. You know, like, hey, we're not this small rinky-dink company. You know, behind us is 25 million users and growing.
That is wild. That, I think, is everything that I had planned to talk about today. Thank you so much for coming on to chat about Streak and really appreciate you sharing your experiences. I found for years I've written about SaaS software, business software in the web, and have found Streak always fascinating as being something that was built inside of Gmail and separate from pretty much everything else that's willing to own their entire experience. There have even been other CRMs that were like, oh, we're like using Gmail's or Google's style to sort of look similar so it sort of fits into the G Suite ecosystem. And you guys just went the whole way and you were like, okay, we're just inside Gmail. I've always found that fascinating. So thank you so much for coming on to share your insights about building Streak and how it's worked for your team.
Well, thanks for having me. And this was a fun conversation.
Awesome. For everyone listening, thank you so much for tuning in. And we'll be back soon. Next week, we have more interviews lined up with SaaS founders and people behind the software we use every day. And we'd love to have you tune in and listen to those next week. Until next time, thank you, and we'll chat soon. Bye.